Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service of morning prayer on this fifth Sunday of Easter, and not the 5th of May, as I mistakenly put in the subject of the email that I sent out. leaving that for a second, it's lovely to have you all here on Zoom and on the telephone. Tilly's going for the grand national win here. And now we're going to start our service of morning prayer. I hope you've got the service in front of you on this fifth Sunday of Easter. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
In your resurrection, O Christ,
let heaven and earth rejoice. Alleluia.
Blessed are you, Lord God of our salvation. To you be praise and glory forever. As once you ransomed your people from Egypt and led them to freedom in the promised land, so now you have delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your risen Son. May we, the first fruits of your new creation, rejoice in this new day you have made, and praise you for your mighty acts. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever. We turn now to our Easter anthems. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
So let us celebrate the feast.
Not with the old leaven of corruption and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christ, once raised from the dead, dies no more.
Death has no more dominion over him.
In dying, he died to sin once for all.
In living, he lives to God.
See yourselves, therefore, as dead to sin,
and alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Christ has been raised from the dead,
the first fruits of those who sleep.
For as by man came death,
By man has come also the resurrection of the dead.
For as in Adam all die,
even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Well, our first reading this morning comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, and beginning at verse 26. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak. and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning is taken from Psalm 22. And we say together, "All the ends of the earth shall turn to you, O Lord. My praise is of him in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your heart live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall turn to you, O Lord.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall bow before him. For kingship belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations.
All the ends of the earth shall turn to you, O Lord.
To him alone, all who sleep in the earth bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust fall before him. My soul shall live for him. My descendants shall serve him. They shall be known as the Lord's forever. They shall come and make known to a people yet unborn the saving deeds that he has done.
All the ends of the earth shall turn to you, O Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And our second reading this morning comes from St. John's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. It's the vine reading. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." I'm sure that you have had experiences where you find yourself in exactly the right place at exactly the right time. You have a chance encounter with someone and you sense that the meeting was meant, somehow planned without your knowledge. Well, that is exactly what it must have felt like for Philip and the Ethiopian official when they met on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. It's a great story. Philip has been preaching in Samaria when an angel told him to go south on the wilderness road, the desert road. We don't know how the angel told him. Maybe Philip just had a hunch. On the road, he meets a grand chariot carrying an important official from the Ethiopian court. Again, prompted by the Spirit, Philip gets into the chariot and discovers the Ethiopian puzzling over the book of Isaiah. Philip shows the man how the ancient scriptures point to Jesus. And wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, the Ethiopian believes, spots a pool of water and asks to be baptized. It all happens so quickly. Philip baptizes him and then is snatched away by the Spirit, and the Ethiopian continues on his way back to court, a new man, shining with new faith in Jesus. He is ready to share what he believes with a whole continent. The strength of the ancient Ethiopian Coptic church suggests that he did remarkably well. This is a wonderful conversion story, a moment of epiphany, a complete transformation, like Paul on the road to Damascus. The Ethiopian becomes a believer, and a whole new life opens up before him. But for Philip, this is also a pivotal moment. He is about to learn what the life of faith post-Easter is really all about. In his Spirit-led encounter with the Ethiopian, Philip learns that the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. Everything he knows about who's in and who's out, who the right sort of people are, what it means to seek God, and who can be a follower of Jesus Christ. The Spirit is clearly in the Ethiopian's transformation, but the same Spirit leads Philip to have a conversion experience as well. The story takes place on the desert or wilderness road. It is a place on the geographical margins. The Ethiopian, a eunuch, is a man who lives on the margins also. He's interested and curious enough in God to make a pilgrimage from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, even though, according to the law in Deuteronomy, he is not free to practice his faith in the temple. He's excluded from that. He is an outsider. It is possible that he was a Jew, but he is a foreigner. He is also a man of rank and privilege, in charge of the royal treasury, and yet he is a eunuch and is classed as such. He must have been wealthy enough to own a scroll of Isaiah, and literate enough to read it, but even so, he cannot understand what he has read. I don't think it's a coincidence that Philip finds the Ethiopian reading Isaiah's description of the suffering silent lamb, the servant king. The word of God often finds us exactly where we are, which is why we need to hear it and read it and ponder over it. How many times in my life have I read the Bible and known that the passage or a particular verse is speaking directly to me? And as Philip explains to the Ethiopian that Jesus is the suffering servant who came to die for the sins of the world, the Ethiopian suddenly understands. His mind is opened, just like the minds of the disciples were opened when they saw the risen Jesus. His heart is open to receive all that God has to give him. And then, as he sees the pool of water, he asks Philip this humdinger of a question: why shouldn't I be baptized? I can imagine Philip's mind racing. I should think he could think of loads of reasons why the foreigner, this eunuch, this outsider shouldn't be baptized. It must have gone against all the things Philip knew, all the things he had been taught. How could this foreigner receive all the benefits and blessings given to God's chosen people? In another translation, the Ethiopian says, "What is to prevent me being baptized? What is to prevent me belonging to the family of God? What is to prevent me being welcomed into Christ's family? What is to prevent me being part of the body of Christ? What is to prevent me being part of Jesus' resurrection story, not merely a hearer of good news, but an integral part of the good news of Jesus? Philip doesn't say anything, but the answer to the question is nothing, absolutely nothing. It is the Ethiopian who sees the water and commands the chariot to stop. And still, Philip doesn't say a word. He just follows the Ethiopian's leading. The Ethiopian knows what he wants. He wants to belong to the family of God. He has faith. He wants to be baptized. And there is absolutely no need to wait. This is a stunning but challenging post-Easter story. It's a story of baptism and belonging. The Ethiopian's journey to faith was just so easy. It's so uncomplicated. Philip told the Ethiopian all about Jesus. The Ethiopian believed and he was baptized. I can't help wondering why we make our faith and the way we practice it seem so complicated at times. We make rules. We overthink. We erect barriers around the font, around the communion table, around our worship, around the scriptures. And so often we consciously or unconsciously give the message that those who don't look, think, worship, live, speak, work, love as we do cannot belong. And if we're honest, we're so reluctant to share what we believe, what we have discovered to be true. We're so hesitant to talk about Jesus and what he is doing in our lives. And it's all too easy to slip into being a church for people just like me, just like us. As we know, we are at a time of change and transition. In the last 12 months, we have had to let go of many, many things. As we move forward towards the future, let us ask the Holy Spirit to give us a fresh, exciting vision for his church. Let us be like Philip, willing to let God show us new things, willing to have open minds. Let us look for the outsider and welcome them in. Let's be prepared to speak about our faith to others, and let us be open to the new things God is wanting to give us. Amen.
Amen. Well, we looked for a song that talks about all these different, well, what Desmond Tutu famously called a rainbow nation. And what we discovered is that, with the possible exception of Hills of the North Rejoice, all the songs that talk about this theme are intended for small children. For some reason, the hymn writers don't think it's a suitable message for adults. Well, we disagree. Anyway, we have got a song. And it is a children's song. We've done it successfully at Holiday Club and praise parties and other things. I expect it's a song that one or two of you know. Tilly might recognise it at any rate. And we're going to sing it for you now. If you do know it, do feel free to join in.
Some of us are big and tall, some of us are very small, some of us like pink and some like blue. Some of us like reading books, some of us like feeding ducks, that's because we're different, me and you. But God loves everyone he's made. God loves each of us in a special way. That's
Turn now to prayer. And on this day that the Lord has made, let us pray for the people, all the people he has redeemed, and for the whole people of God, that they may proclaim the risen Lord in word and deed. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray that we may live as those who believe in the triumph of the cross. We pray for all who live in despair and darkness and the fear of death, that they may find the hope and the light of Christ. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray that all people may receive the good news of Christ's victory. We pray for prisoners and captives, and for all who face an uncertain future. And we remember especially today the people of India. And we pray for them, for their leaders, and for those in the medical profession. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray that all born to new life in the waters of baptism may know the power of the resurrection and grow into the fullness of their calling in Christ. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. And we pray that all who suffer pain and anguish may find healing and peace in the wounds of Christ. And we pray especially for Pam, Jack, Jen, Catherine, Brian and David, Jennifer, Mavis, Adrian, Jean, Jane, Olwyn, and Alan, Rosemary, Ryan, Andrew, Margaret, Elana, Clifford, Jean and Dennis, Roy, Christine, Muriel, Prissy, Mike, and others known to us. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. And we pray that in the undying love of Christ, we may be united with all who have died in the faith of Christ. We give thanks especially for the lives of Vera Sutton, Jean Brooks, Maurice Downs, Peggy Trail, and others recently departed this life, and all those whom we remember with love and thanksgiving. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. And so we commend this world in which Christ rose from the dead to the mercy and protection of God this day. Amen. And the collect for this fifth Sunday of Easter. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, have overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that as by your grace going before us, you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help, we may bring them to good effect. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Rejoicing in God's new creation, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
May the risen Christ grant us the joys of eternal life. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thank you very much for joining us again this morning for worship. It's been lovely to have your company. Please do take note of the notices at the back, bottom of the order of service, and just an open invitation to all of you if you would like to come for our picnic at Pentecost at Calverley on the 23rd of May. Any other notices there, Robert?
Well, I'd just like to say that I think the notices are lovely, don't you? I'm not sure that, I'm not saying that they're the best bit of the whole service. I mean, some clergy would feel that, but I don't. I think that, but they are lovely.
Yeah, we're trying to do tip-top notices.
Yeah, we do. We're absolutely spot on with the notices.
Yeah, lovely.
Thank you. It was. Yeah. You're supposed to either run around going you and you and you and pointing to people, or just pointing to them.
Yeah, which is I have to say, it's easier to point to people on Zoom than it is on the telephone.
It is. And you can imagine that sometimes the running around and pointing becomes running around and poking.
Lily deserves a praise because she was doing it beautifully.
Yes, well done, Tilly.
Yeah, that's really good. Poking is a sign of God's love. It's a mixed blessing, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is. Anyway, we hope you all have a lovely week and a great weekend.
Yes,
and
we
see
do.
You soon at Coffee Morning, yeah, or wherever. And I'm off to Washfield now, and
I'm off to St. Peter's, and then later on we're going over to Zeal Monachorum. Ooh. To an open garden thing.
Nice.
Oh, so if anybody else is planning to spend the afternoon in the sunshine at the open garden at Hayne,
yeah,
we'll look out for you there.
Okay.
Because everybody knows we love gardening. Don't they?
We're hoping that we might be converted by the time we come back. Anyway, God bless.
Anyway,
have a great morning.
Thank you.
Bye,
Right. We don't want to go now. We want to keep singing. Okay. Bye.